Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good day out there. Good things coming up for you, everybody. A little bit later in the hour, we're getting into the things that bore us. The most exciting boring things, that is.
You couldn't come up with it because you were so bored?
I was bored with the sentence. I was like, I don't know. We're going to talk about boring stuff, I guess. We'll talk about that. It's our job. We'll talk about that. Also, this awesome stash that was found at George Washington's under his Mount Vernon floor. I want to get into that. The fun one. But let's kick the hour off with a little bit of entertainment. And I personally think, in my book of this, and I study acting. I've been studying it since I was 7 years old. I believe that Meryl Streep is the greatest actor alive today. I think she is by far and away the greatest actor we have in the world right now. And I think she has been for a very long time. I don't think it's even close. There are a lot of great actors and a lot of really good performers out there. But overall, being able to do every single thing, you could add anything, literally, you could ask her to do anything, any line, any sentence, any phrase, anything, and she could do it. And she could do it better than anybody. She's incredible. Well, Meryl Streep made the most of her AFI Life Achievement Award presentation to Nicole Kidman over the weekend. The two actors co-starred together in a 2002 film, The Hours, and season two of Big Little Lies. Streep had the audience laughing as she joked about the very, very hardest part of being insistively called the greatest actress of my generation. She says, quote, "What is the hardest part?" Streep jokes, "Oh, the hardest part is when you come up against or you're acting with another person who is also really, 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 really great. That's difficult." working with Kidman on Big Little Lies, Streep said it was the time she came within breathing distance of the formidable gifts Nicole has, and her process and her seismic bank of emotion she got locked up inside there, and her stamina and her drive to be an artist and her discipline. Meryl Streep believes Nicole Kidman is the better actor. And I just thought that was really cool. She cited Kidman, and she like cited notes, like she had data to back this up and everything. She wasn't being nice because she's presenting her with a Lifetime Achievement Award. She genuinely believes this. And I think that we need more of this. We don't have this
humility in actors is refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like incredibly, especially from the top. Like from the top of the game and everything, for her to be that way. I hope that other entertainers, other performers, especially other actors, pick up on this and realize I want to be the greatest actor of all time. I refuse to die before that happens. That's a goal. That's something I'm striving for. But it doesn't mean that while I'm doing this, other actors I'm trashing or other actors
you
I'm...
You have to be an egotistical jerk.
No, I want to be great because I believe greatness brings out the greatestness in others.
Striving for more, it helps you keep your edge and keep getting better.
You can do both. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've known it. I live it. You can want to be great while also wanting your other actors and other people around you to be great. And I think that it shows when you have an actor like Meryl Streep, you watch her movies and one of the reasons I say she's the best in the game is not just what she can do, but how she elevates her cast members.
Yes.
She was in the most recent season of Only Murders in the Building. I've rambled a lot about Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez, their chemistry, how great though all three of those actors are. She came into that show and just, it wasn't stealing scenes. I've never seen Martin Short act better. I've seen everything Martin Short has ever done. He's one of our greats. And I didn't know he was capable of that. He had love scenes with her. And they were incredible. Like, they were really good. Like, she's that kind of actor. I think that part of the reason she's that kind of actor and that good is because she approaches the game this way.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that's encouraging. And it was pretty cool to see.
It's a lot more refreshing to work with. And I can only speak to this because I've done a one-person show. And working by yourself is so much less rewarding than working with other actors.
Yeah, yeah. I could feel that. I could see how that could be. I just wanted to touch on this real quick. Anne Hathaway recently had a big interview she did, and she came out marking a big moment in her life as she shared that she has been sober for over 5 years, saying that feels like a milestone to me. I just want to congratulate her on that, of course, and want to thank her for being so honest and forthright with this. I think that sometimes people throw out brave. And I don't know, that's a personal choice, if you want to call it brave or not or any of that. But whether it's Tom Holland or her or so many other big name actors coming out and talking about addiction and their struggles with it, there are so many people who are not celebrities that are dealing with addiction, that are struggling with those things. And I know for a fact that so many of them take strength from seeing others being able to accomplish things, especially when so much of your life is tied up to image and what people think of you and what people imagine of you, and you have to live with that. And I'm not saying anybody feels sorry for her or any actor for this. We know what we walk into and what we're asking for, but I do think that it does involve a little bit of empathy, of understanding of, it's one thing when I mess up and I do something wrong and maybe the people in my, you know, personal circle see it. It's another when you are on that level of everybody's watching, everybody's seeing, and oh yeah, everybody's waiting to tear you down. Like any day now, things are going to flip for Taylor Swift. Any day now. And I'm not saying that in a mean way. I don't mean that in a bad way. I say that as somebody who has watched pop culture since the 80s.
The like, masses are fickle.
That's what happens. They rise you up and they take you down. Like, and then she'll have a comeback story and she'll come back and all that and everything. Like, that's the way this works. We're not doing anything different. We're not doing this any different than we do rom-coms. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. Like, that has been the model from the 40s, and we're still doing
which
it.
Which we need to get away from.
Oh, yeah, we do. But this is the same thing with that, where, you know, every time that somebody gets way, way up there, who's the biggest celebrity in the world, biggest name in the world, think about that now, but think about that a decade ago and a decade before that, and what happened to those people. They didn't just stay up there at the top and then just, you know, kind of sit up there and let others come join them. No, there's only room for one at the top, and that person ends up usually getting knocked down a peg or two. Speaking of getting knocked down a peg or two, in an interview with Page Six, Jerry Seinfeld said political correctness shouldn't be a problem for comedians if they're smart enough to navigate around it. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
But now in a new interview with The New Yorker, it sounds like he's saying that the opposite. He criticized, quote, the extreme left and PC-ism. Although in this case, he's talking more about TV comedy. Quote, there were no sitcoms picked up on the fall season for all four networks. Not one, no new sitcoms. Jerry says that's because networks would rather not do comedy than risk offending someone. But he says stand-ups get away with more, quote, because we are not political policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track, we know instantly, and we adjust to it instantly.
Yes, because you have to read the room. It's live.
And Jerry needs to read the room. Because for one, yes, I will be the first. As somebody who benefits from PC-ism, I will say that there is too much, and it gets to be a bit cloudy. It brings down the cause and what we're trying to do here when it's everywhere and everything, and it becomes pushed. And nobody wants anything crammed down their throat. Right. Nobody in human history has ever responded because something was crammed down their throat. So that doesn't help anybody.
but it does help us to be aware.
And representation.
Yes.
Like, the only people that don't care about representation are people that have been represented for decades. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't care. They don't see the point of this. But to people that have never been represented in TV, movies, and TV shows and these things, it matters a lot. And I would like to think that a Jewish man like Jerry Seinfeld would get that. However, Jerry is also in a very privileged situation.
Yes, has been for a long time.
And I think he's lost touch of a lot of these things.
You know, when you're surrounded by accolades and people fawning over you all the time, that's not surprising.
He also...
Not that that's what Jerry has in his life. I would, you know, just assume as a celebrity, he probably is pretty popular.
He also could not be more wrong about this. I feel like you are not paying attention to television, Jerry. because for one, if you want to take an older show like The Simpsons, it's been around for over 30 years. The Simpsons continues to push envelopes. The Simpsons has one of the only network TV show that I know of that does not have to get OKs on their script. If they want to, trash Fox, the network they're on, if they want to trash Disney, the network that owns them, they can do it, and they can't do a darn thing. That seems like un-PC-ism to me. How about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? If you watch one scene from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you will be okay. I changed my mind. Apparently, this doesn't matter. The first episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is the gang gets racist. I mean, it's one of those shows. It's a train wreck of a show. I've watched every episode. I love it.
I was not interested at all.
And that's cool. That's cool. But to this point of Jerry Seinfeld, if anything, TV has gone more that direction.
That's the they've kind of gone over the top.
Yeah. It seems like he's talking about something he's not paying anything attention to.
I have the fix for this, James.
Mm, What's that?
Sitcoms need to perform before a live audience again.
Oh, I would love that. That would be
the best. And aired live.
Yes, yes. Oh, that would be awesome. Networks would never allow it.
No.
Never. No. But I will say just real quickly, again, being around a lot of stand-up comedians for many, many years and working with them on many sketches and that, what he's talking about, I do agree with to a point that stand-up comedy, if you are the type of comedian that listens to the audience, there's a lot of stand-up comedians nowadays, and there's a real rise of comedians that are quote-unquote pushing the boundaries, when really all they're doing is just telling the same old, you know, racist and anti-Semitic and sexist jokes that they were telling in the 50s. They just reworded them. Like, that's not pushing the envelope. That's just telling lame jokes over and over again. Like, it doesn't. And a lot of stand-up comedians now will push back against audiences. And, oh, you're not laughing at this? Well, I'm going to double down. That's what people do nowadays. Nobody owns up to anything. Nobody says I'm sorry or says I was wrong. They just double down. it's a shame. And it's a shame that I think Jerry Seinfeld's approach to this. I think that he has a point, but it gets lost in the way, in just, again, trashing things. Whenever we group things all together, yeah, I deal with this with a lot of sports voices. In fact, there's a couple of sports voices in this state that do this, to generalize. They it's easier on their brains to just, instead of saying, well, it can't be everybody of this fan base, it's just one or two. No, they just say everybody. And, oh, this whole city is trash and these kind of things. That's lame, dumb thinking that we need to get more away from. And Jerry Seinfeld, to me, is doing some of that. I got another one here, and I think this is more of a fun one to kind of wrap up our world entertainment, if you will, Melissa. Mm-hmm. I have here a list of the longest touring streaks in rock in 63 years.
All right.
So, ultimateclassicrock.com put together a list of the 40 longest touring streaks in rock history. In order to qualify, the artist had to have at least one performance in a calendar year. It could be a concert or a TV performance.
Okay, that's fair.
So, taking a look at this list, the Beach Boys come in at number one from 1961 to present, 63 years.
Whoa.
It's impressive.
Wait. They're still touring?
Or performing at least one show a year.
Okay.
And that could also include a TV performance. So.
Wow.
There's a tie at number two between Chicago, REO Speedwagon, Santana, Jackson Brown, Blue Oyster Cult, and Van Morrison. from 1967 to now, they have been doing at least one performance a year.
Out of all of those, I would probably see Chicago.
I'd love to see Chicago. Oh, I'd love to. Santana's my favorite guitar player of all time, so I have to see Carlos Santana, but Chicago's right up there. Mm-hmm. Sir Elton John is right next at 1968 to present, 56 years he's been doing it.
Wow. I'm surprised he's not actually higher,
yeah.
Honestly.
There's a tie with War and Kool and the Gang from 1969 to present, 55 years. America's been doing it for 54 years from 1970. Cheap Trick has been doing it from 1973 to present. Shout out to Cheap Trick. I'm always going to shout them out. They were very nice to me. a tie with number 13, Eric Clapton in Kansas from 1974 to present, 50 years they've been doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Uriah Heep has 42 years. If they played a show in 1981, their streak would have been back to 1970. Instead, it goes back to 1982. Hmm. Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel have been doing it for 40 years straight. Rod Stewart and Foreigner, 36 years. Alice Cooper, 30. The Foo Fighters, one of the younger bands in this list, at 29 years.
Hey.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's some more interesting names on that list. If you're curious, go to ultimateclassicrock.com, ultimateclassicrock.com.
And how many of those bands have all their original members?
Okay, none of them. None of them. Yeah. Outside of like the solo, like Billy Joel or something like right. that. Like, yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
who's only himself.
Now, it would be, it is impressive to see so many of these bands have so many original members. You know, maybe not all of them, but so many, like even just having a couple. I remember Travis and I doing a remote some years back for, was it Blue? How was it? Was Uriah Heep maybe? No. They had like one original member out of like six. It was pretty funny. It was a pretty good show.
Well, you know, I suppose that if they still have the rights to the name.
Mm. So I wanted to touch on this one, Melissa. We've got some great local theater going on and a second night of auditions for Disney's Newsies Junior, directed by our great friend Gretchen Powers.
Yes, indeed.
This is a part of WRCT and Rotary, and we encourage you. I heard great things about the auditions last night. We want you to bring the kids down for auditions tonight.
Yeah, they're doing the auditions in the Lois Canton Theater. That's the little studio theater right when you walk in, that first door there on the left. And Gretchen did mention in her post that rumors, because they're heading into, this is production week for them, right? They open on Thursday,
yep.
Friday.
Yep.
So she asked that you be respectful and quiet in the lobby because they're also rehearsing. But yeah, head on in at 5 and get in on the fun.
Yeah. If you especially are looking for something to, you know, for your kid to do or an opportunity for them to get some more experience public speaking and being out there more and just having fun, meeting new kids, meeting new parents and all that. It's a fun one. And one of our greatest directors is Gretchen. She's one of the best directors in this state.
She does great working with the kids.
And I mean, yeah, you couldn't ask for a better person to leave your kids with. Ask Seth and Beth. she's amazing. Go ahead and check it out. Again, auditions, final night of auditions tonight. Head on over to the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, about 5 to 8 tonight, for auditions for Disney's Newsies Juniors. And Melissa mentioned Rumors getting into action. They are kicking off their show this week. May 3rd, it kicks off.
May 3rd, they open. This is opening weekend.
We want to encourage you to take in the show, and we wish them a great run, break a leg, have a good time. We've got a lot of friends and a lot of great members on that stage, wrapping up the main stage.
And is this Christine Sullivan's directorial debut?
I believe so. I'm going to be able to ask her a little bit later today.
Oh, good. You should.
At 3:30 today, we're going to be joined by the cast of Rumors and Christine, their director. Yes. We'll talk more about the show then. But we encourage you to get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org, and take in this great show. And again, get the kids down there for the auditions for Disney's Newsies Juniors. Mm-hmm. Juniors.
Yeah.
I don't know, juniors.
Singing, dancing.
Yeah. It's going to be a good
It'll
time.
It'll be fun.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back and we'll talk about boring things when we get back.
Join us for boring things.
Boring things coming up with Melissa and James on the morning show here at WFHR. I'm not aware of too many things. I know what I know if you know what I mean. I have no idea what you mean. I have no idea. I've heard that song since the 90s and I have no idea. But I do like it. It's a good song.
Wondering.
It's a good song, though.
Yeah, it's catchy.
We got to get ready for our news break here. So I want to be able to take some time with this boring adult things that we're excited about. So we'll get into that after our news break. We'll dive into that one then. For right now, speaking of going into news, I thought this was pretty cool. And I don't think a lot of people saw this story, but Melissa did. And she sent it over to us. And I appreciate you looking for this one, Melissa. It comes to us from livescience.com. You can find the complete article at livescience.com. George Washington's stash of centuries old cherries found hidden under his Mount Vernon floor.
Why would you hide cherries under the floor? That's all I could think of when I saw this article.
Would love to be able to go back and ask a lot of questions of Mr. Washington. Mm-hmm. That'd be one of them. Father of our country, of course. Two glass bottles filled with centuries-old cherries were found hidden inside George Washington's historic home in Virginia. Archaeologists made the discovery while conducting ongoing evacuations as part of a major revitalization of the mansion known as Mount Vernon. The bottles, which looked like they were made in the 1740s, were found buried beneath a brick floor that was laid in the 1770s, according to a Mount Vernon statement. To help to preserve the roughly 250-year-old glass bottles, researchers decanted their contents, including cherries, pits, stems, and, quote, a gooey residue, into a smaller vessel for a future analysis. There are whole recognizable cherries, Jason Burroughs said, Mount Vernon's principal archaeologist. It actually smelled like cherry blossoms when we got to the bottom.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
Researchers think that much of the amber-colored liquor could be a groundwater that seeped into the bottles. It is possible that the bottles... The bottles, I know it's exciting, Melissa, I know.
It's so exciting.
The bottles were buried sometime between 1758 and 1776, the Washington Post reported. During colonial times, there was a popular drink known as cherry bounce, which was made with brandy, spices, sugar, and cherry juice. Both Washington and his wife Martha were big fans of this drink. However, typically, this tipple was stored in larger vessels, so archaeologists conclude that it's likely that the newly discovered fruits were being preserved for other uses, such as cooking or baking or something like that.
And then buried under a brick floor? Like, they weren't going to come back to them for a while.
Yeah, right. Like, did you forget about them? I mean, yeah. It is certainly worth noting that the cherries weren't picked by Washington himself, but rather by some of the hundreds of enslaved people living at Mount Vernon at the time. Moreover, the famous tale of a young Washington damaging a cherry tree with a hatchet and later confessing to it because I cannot tell a lie is a myth concocted by a biographer, according to George Washington's Mount Vernon. This isn't the first time. There should be a note about that, though, too. Whether that story is true or not, does it matter? You know, I mean, there's facts and true history is very important. And part of the reason I wanted to touch on this story is certainly to be able to touch on real history. But the further and further we go along and the further along we get away from some of these people in history, I think it's more and more important for us to have context. You can do two things at once. Go ahead right now, put a piece of gum in your mouth, chew it, and see if you can walk. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it in your brain, too. You can look at George Washington as the father of our country, one of the fathers of democracy, and have accomplished some amazing things while also having some faults. It's important for us to be able to do that. If you truly love this country, you love it for its scars. You love it for its horribleness, its roughness. When you love something, you don't just love it on its good days. You don't just love it for when it's looking handsome and pretty and all those things. You love it on the bad days. Loving your country is no different. By holding your country accountable, it doesn't mean you love it any less. In my book, it means you love it more.
Right. Learning from the mistakes that were made prior to now.
Anybody can whitewash things. Anybody can just look at the positive and the good in things. That's not patriotism. That's not being to me. I don't see that. That's just being blind and honestly being a child.
Well, I'm choosing to stick your head in the sand as opposed to paying attention to what's going on.
We are made from the tough times in life. And it is no different when it comes to these kind of things. So when we're uncovering history, there's some really cool stuff there. Oh, my gosh. George Washington and Martha buried some cherries. Why did they bury these cherries? This is fascinating. Has anybody ever heard of cherry bounce? I thought that was a kind of a cool sounding drink. I want to try that.
Cherry bounce. It's really easy to get drunk off of, apparently, from the stories that I've read.
Cherry bounce.
The very hard lesson that you have to learn from this story, James, is that burying cherries under the ground in glass jars for almost 250 years does not make cherry bounce.
We learned. Thank you, Mr. Washington. Thank you. We learned that now. A cherry bounce did sound kind of good, though. That's a cool name for a drink, too. Cherry bounce. It'll get you popping. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This seems like a good one. We will. Thank you, Melissa, for sending that over. That was a great article. Yeah, that was really cool.
Story. I love archaeology.
Same. I encourage people, if you get a chance, maybe you don't want to read the whole article. There, along with the article on Live Science, there is video of the archaeologist doing this, and it's just really cool to see. I don't know if I would sit, if I would love it in real time if I'm sitting there. Most archaeology, it takes hours and days and days.
That's why you watch Time Team. They uncover whole sites in just 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. So you get it real quick, a real Cliff Notes version of it. I like those. Those are great. We will check in with our news. We'll come back and have some more fun. We'll get into, when we come back, the most exciting, boring adult things we do. We're going to get into that. Coming up, nice. Melissa and James on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Good morning, Wisconsin. Welcome back to the show. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. We hope you're having a good day out there. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. Let's dive into this one. When you're a kid, there's an electricity you feel when you receive a video game or a new pair of shoes and you get to try them out and run around and see if you can move in them. When you're an adult, you get that feeling when you get to a new vacuum or some underwear or socks.
Yes.
Millennials and Gen Xers on social media are talking about the, quote, adult things that seemed boring when we were young but now really excite us.
Yes. When you unwrap that package of socks at Christmas as a kid, you were like, man.
I got socks as an adult.
Now, yes. It's so exciting.
And we want you guys to participate. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. Here are some of the best ones, like slicing into a perfectly ripe avocado.
Oh. Yeah, because it's always a mystery.
Mm.
You can't be quite sure if it's going to be perfect or if you're going to have brown spots like the one sitting on my counter that I plan to eat for lunch today.
Bird watching.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find myself more and more the older I've got concrete in my veins. I mean, I'm always going to be a city boy to some degree, but the older I get, the more I'm enjoying nature and finding myself like just caught watching nature. Like I'm busy, I'm doing something, and then all of a sudden, boom, birds, you know, and it's, you know, and then stuck watching.
Wow, they're fascinating. Mm.
Instapots. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, I was terrified of using an Instapot the first time I tried it because, I mean, there's so much pressure and there's steam. It's loud. It's, you know, it blasts when you knock the thingy over.
Yeah.
But they're actually really amazing.
I can see that. Yeah. This one I got to agree with wholeheartedly, but I think I was like this as a kid too, because I was not good at being a kid. I was too serious. Organizing. And by extension, the Container Store. Organizing. It feels good to get done. Like the actual act of organizing things may not be fun, but when you step back and you're done, man, you feel like you did something.
It's very satisfying.
Oh, it feels good. Yeah. Yeah. You're high-fiving yourself. Yeah.
Right. To your face.
Alone time. Like sitting in silence. Like doing nothing. Like, yeah. Oh, my God. That sounds exciting right now. Mm-hmm. I don't even know the next time I have an opportunity for that.
You're driving, James.
Yeah, there you go.
When you're driving.
Yeah, yeah. Paying bills. And that may not seem exciting, but when you're done paying them, that feels pretty good.
It's exciting when you have enough money to pay them.
Yes. Yes. That's a key factor of this.
Yes.
Checking items off your to-do list, or just, I will just add to that, checking items off your list, like any, whatever list you have. It just feels good, whether you're at the grocery store or it's a personal list of at home you're trying to get things done.
I have a list as long as my arm to get done by this weekend. Oh. So, you know, we're going to try.
You got this. Puzzles. Some people even get amped about framing them afterwards. My mom and dad, one of the bigger surprises to me is seeing them like enjoying putting puzzles together, and they get really into it. They both have their jobs and really have gotten into it. And just knowing, you know, obviously knowing my parents when they were younger, this is not exactly how I thought that the twilight years were going to go for them. It's awesome.
Puzzles?
Though.
Really, mom, dad, puzzles?
They get into it.
No, I love puzzles too.
High quality bedding, like, and spending time sleeping in that bedding.
You know, there is a special appreciation for very comfortable sheets.
Yeah, this one I can relate to. This one I get this one.
You know what I don't like? Noisy sheets.
Yeah, yeah.
When you move and it makes noise, that is so obnoxious.
Most overrated sheets of all time, silk. Way overrated. Way overrated. Uncomfortable. Not nearly as sexy as you think they'd be. Very overrated. I will say, to add on to this, piggybacking on this, I will say that even I can relate to the excitement you feel about sleeping. when you get excited to sleep. going to the grocery store or a place like Walgreens or something like that and getting a great deal on something. Like those loyalty cards or you find you were going to the store to get this said thing and it's on sale. And you're like, "Yes!"
And I would add to that the satisfaction of sticking to your list.
Oh, yes. Oh, that does feel good. Good one. Yeah, yeah. Yard work. Yeah.
The satisfaction you feel when it's finished, sure.
I know a lot of people that get excited about gardening. So I don't know if you consider that lawn work or not, but being outside.
Working in your lawn, maybe, or your yard.
Yeah. Getting up early on Saturday to go to the local farmer's market.
That's just fun.
Yeah, that is a fun one. I can see getting excited about that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you never know what you're going to find.
Yes.
Sometimes at ours, they have different vendors, so.
Keep in mind, we've got the Wisconsin Rapids Winters Farmers Market still going on over at the Moravian Church for another couple of weeks, I believe. Yes. I believe it wraps up in May.
I think so.
We'll talk more about that this week on the show. And finally, on the list here, leftovers. Huh.
Get excited about leftovers.
I guess. I mean, you know.
If they're good leftovers, yes.
I'm trying to think of I think we've made the joke a number of times about socks and getting excited about getting socks and that kind of thing. I'm trying to think of other things involved in this. And when you're driving somewhere, long trip or you've got a long trip or you've got like 20 stops to make, errands to run or something. When you get done and you get home. Like that, how good you feel, like that, the excitement of like how good it feels to just be, you're excited to
just
be home. Or how about that? The excitement of, you know, you're in for the night.
Yeah.
Like how good that feels. Mm-hmm. Like the shoes come off for me. I throw my Adidas pants on and I'm home. I'm not leaving.
Comfy clothes on.
Yeah. Like you get excited about that.
Having an uninterrupted hour to just read my book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That. I get excited about that. Yeah. I don't do it very often. Usually I'm reading while I'm eating my lunch because that's the only time I have. But yeah, if I can take time on the weekend and just sit and read my book, that's the best.
Mm-hmm. How often have you asked somebody, hey, how was your night or how was your weekend? And they get really excited and they tell you, man, I did nothing.
We do that. Occasionally, on a Monday.
Yeah. I think that really speaks to this quite a bit. Like, you know, you're an adult when you come out of the weekend and you were really jacked about it. And what did you do? Nothing.
Nothing.
A weekend with no plans, not a lot of calling and texting or anything like that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Or
that's relaxing.
What about getting new like toiletries or new simple things like a new scrubber for in the shower or new deodorant or new shampoo?
Towels.
Yeah, new towels. New towels are great.
I get excited about using a new towel. New shampoo though too because I don't go through my shampoo very fast because I use so little and I don't wash my hair super often.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a new bottle of shampoo is exciting for me.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Get a new one.
I'm with
you. It's coconut.
It's good stuff. Yeah, I bet that smells really good. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. We will take a break. We'll come back with some That Ain't Right stories, some good stories of the day, and plenty more for you. We got to get into our schedule as well, Melissa. That's all coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James wrapping up the show. Take you right to the top of the hour.
LA. Proved too much for the man.
We like to wrap up the show with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and of course touch on our schedule. This one is up to you if it's a That Ain't Right story or not. Some people might like this, Melissa.
All right.
Nabisco announced Sour Patch Kids flavored Oreos are coming next month.
What?
They're known for overdoing it on the Oreo thing, but this is a little bit different. They released a statement saying, "The Oreo brand is always looking for playful ways to excite our fans. What better and more unexpected way to do that? You can pre-order them on the Oreo's website, and they hit stores nationwide on May 6th. They're a limited edition thing, so even they realize there's no, you know, maybe people aren't going to want these long term." The whole thing actually started as a joke, though. Back in 2022, the Sour Patch Kids people tweeted a doctored photo of exactly what they're now selling. They tagged Oreo in it and said, "What if we actually made them? That would be fun." And they did. And they did it. Like, that's pretty cool.
I have to look this up because I cannot picture this.
Yeah, it's basically if you just took a bunch of Sour Patch Kids and smashed them in between two Oreos, you know, cakes.
Okay, and they're the chocolate cakes?
The cakes are chocolate, and the gooey inside is the Sour Patch Kid.
Oh, okay, no. Well, do they? Because the ones I'm seeing are white. They're the vanilla.
Oh, no. I've got one in front of me from the Sour Patch Kids tweet.
Oh, yeah, and okay. These ones are chocolate with the different colored frosting in the middle.
Although, if you're a Sour Patch Kid fan, you might like these.
I don't know.
Not my thing.
I don't know.
Not my thing.
So the ones that they put out for 4th of July with the firecrackers that popped in your mouth with Pop Rocks in them.
I thought
that was a better use of a candy with an Oreo.
I agree.
Having a sour cookie?
Yeah. No. You get away from Oreos. No. But if you like it, to each their own.
To each their own. But if you got a special order, them.
I wonder. Here's a real That Ain't Right story, I think, Melissa. KFC is releasing a limited edition barbecue perfume that they say will leave you and people around you tipsy with hunger.
Tipsy with hunger.
It's called, get this, Melissa, Number 11 All Day Barbecue. All Day Barbecue. And it promises a classic barbecue experience in every bottle. It has a smoky wood smell with charcoal notes. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I have to say that there is a scent that I really liked, which I have not been able to replicate. It's like a tobacco and vanilla scent.
Okay.
And it had that smoky overtone, and not like cigarette smell.
Yeah.
Actual tobacco, which was smoky. So that's kind of what comes to mind when you said smoky and woody. I actually might like this. If I smell like a barbecue chicken, no.
Yeah. I do love the smell of barbecue. The smell of barbecue is a great smell.
When you walk outside and somebody's barbecuing and you smell the just like a waft of it coming past you. Yeah, it's good. It makes you hungry.
I've known vegans who have questioned themselves. It's just smelling barbecue. I'm kidding. But
if somebody walked past me and smelled like that,
I don't know.
I'm still skeptic.
I don't need a perfume that makes me want to take a bite out of somebody. I don't think that's a good thing. I don't feel like that's a seem right. Doesn't seem right.
But what about like baked good smells?
Oh, like somebody smelling like muffins?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah. Or like a cinnamon roll? Yeah.
I feel like we're running into the same problem again. Uh-huh. But I think that's a better idea. I think that's a better alternative. I like it.
Well, it's definitely more popular.
Yeah. I wonder, are we running out of scents? I mean, are we just like running out of ideas for scents and everything? Are we just coming out? I don't know what we can do.
Let's see. What's up next? We're going to smell like the inside of a computer.
Have we tried Old Shoe? Anybody?
Yes, they did that on Monsters Incorporated. Ooh, de dumpster.
Nicely done. Looking at our palate cleanser, our schedule for today. Join us for Midday Magazine as we kick it off for the week from 3 to 4. Got a great one lined up for you. We kick things off with our good friend Sally Kistner. She is, of course, Executive Director of the Arts Council. And Sally and I are going to get together talking about the upcoming season.
Mm.
Got a lot of fun in store for that. Looking forward to it. So many great acts coming up in the 24-25 season over at the Performing Arts Center. We're going to talk about every one of them.
Ooh, cool. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
And in part two, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's production of Rumors joins us. We'll have Cassidy, Bethany, Andy joining us along with director Christine.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That'll be a fun interview.
Imagine. Remember, you can get your tickets for that at wrctheater.org. And keep in mind, young kids, they're auditioning for Disney's Newsies Juniors tonight from 5 to 8 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Yes, and Rumors opens Friday, Saturday, and then next week they have shows Thursday through Saturday.
Get your tickets for that. Stick around. Not only do we have Matt and Air on the air after this, and of course Midday Magazine a little bit later, but 8 o'clock tonight, Bucks basketball, Milwaukee Bucks versus the Indiana Pacers. Could be the last Bucks game of the season. We'll see.
What are you talking about? They're going to win, James.
They are. I believe they're going to win. But you know,
then it's not the last game, right?
No, no. Then they'll keep playing, and as long as there's Bucks basketball, we'll be playing them right here at WFHR. Been a really fun season, and looking forward to covering the Bucks going forward. That's going to be great. Also tonight on our sister station, WIRI, Assumption Softball hosting Newman Catholic.
Oh,
be sure to check
better.
That out.
See, that's going to be worth a listen.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a good one. Tomorrow, great lineup for you. Melissa and Seth will be hanging out with me on tomorrow's show. We'll have a good time.
What? Seth's going to be here?
Yeah, I know, I know.
No, I'm kidding.
It's fun. We'll do our best to keep you two separated.
Gotta keep them separated.
Nice, nice reference. Nicely done. We will have our good friend Phil Hartley from Quality Plus Printing joining us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday as well.
Woo. Yeah, he'll probably talk about Rumors, too, since he's in it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll definitely be touching on that. We do want to also mention on Wednesday's show, the entire hour of Midday Magazine will be spent with the Wood County Sheriff's Department and our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
Nice.
It's going to be a good show. Just in some news and notes, a couple of things to mention, like the Rams Orchestra concert going on tonight at 6:30.
Yeah, that's right.
This is for grades 6, 7, and 8. All you kids, break a leg. Have a good time. Arwen, enjoy yourself.
Yes,
have fun
awesome,
out there.
Awesome show, Arwen.
Yeah, enjoy yourself and have a great one. And support these kids, everybody.
Are they live streaming this one?
I don't know. I hope they are. If
they did the last one. I would assume that they are.
Yeah, I'd go to the Rams website, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School or Rams. Both of them have worked for me in the past. And find that link if you can't be there live. But if you can be there live, not only is it a great place to see a show, great auditorium, great acoustics, but these kids are going to be looking out in the crowd. And yeah, it's great to see mom and dad. It's great to see their brothers and sisters. But seeing strangers means almost as much. And because that's adults paying attention to kids. Yeah. And that always feels good. It always means something to them.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to check that out. Again, Rams Orchestra concert tonight for grades 6, 7, and 8 at 6:30 over at the Rams Auditorium.
Ah, yes, there is a live stream.
Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
WRPS.org/livestream/index.
United Way of Southwood and Adams County's annual United Weekend Food Sculpture Contest is happening at Winterfield on Tuesday, June 18th. Participating teams will compete using hundreds of donated food and basic need items to build sculptures. After the event, Southwood County Hunger Coalition will distribute the donated items to local food programs, adding to the over 72,000 pounds of food this event has leveraged since 2013.
That's so awesome.
We encourage you to get your team together, and especially today, because tomorrow is the last day to register for this. You want to be sure to do that so you can get your chance to possibly win Craft River tickets for the 24 Rafters game.
I think it's the last day to register to get that.
Yes.
I think you can still register after this, but yes, if you want those tickets.
Reach out and register your team at uwswac.org or contact Ben at 715-421-0390. That's 421-0390. Or email him, ben@uwswac.org.
You can also sponsor a team, so keep that in mind if you don't have a team yourself.
And be sure to bookmark their webpage, uwswac.org. Be sure to keep up to date on all the things they're doing on social media. Always good stuff going on. And I wanted to wrap up just reminding everybody as we're wrapping up April and getting ready for May that our city has adopted No Mow May.
That is right.
During the month of May, the city ordinance has allowed for our local areas and communities, our local, houses to be able to do this.
Yeah, for lawns. And you, if you don't have a sign, you can get one for free at City Hall. If you have gotten one in the past, I think you have to pay $10 to get a new one if you didn't keep it from year to year. But they're nice, solid signs. So there's, you know, you should be able to keep it and reuse it every year.
This is, okay, out of 10 people doing this, is one person maybe doing it because they don't want to mow? Sure, maybe. I don't care. Our pollinators don't care. Our bees don't care. And after the winter we just had, we need them more than ever.
Yes. Yes, we do. And that newly emerging wildflowers and grasses and the dead leaves give them a spot to flourish early in the year and be protected.
Anybody out there got a problem helping farmers? Anybody got a problem helping our ag industry?
Or helping our food supply?
Yeah, yeah, because that's what we're trying to do here.
I like to eat, James.
I love
to eat.
Probably
more than you.
Yeah, maybe. So be a part of No Mow May and support people that are doing it, whether you do or not. We encourage you to do that. Melissa, great show today.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a good one. Mm-hmm. And be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.